and welcome to AFL Tonight. I am Tim Capper, along with, I can actually say, along with my co-host, who actually is on assignment, on the phone,
yep.
Via Skype, J.P. Worley. Welcome back.
Glad to be back. Thanks for having me again. Almost don't feel like a co-host anymore.
Well, things happen, dude. Nothing much you can do. And
But
who, you know, we're now upon, and you know what, this is, you know, you had your bye weeks off and stuff like that. I've had my bye weeks. Dude, we're at the last game of the year. Now, I'm sure everybody at the beginning, you know, once arena football, the original arena football left, we never thought this day would come where we would actually have another arena bowl staring us in the face. Not even to the fact that we're having an AFL, former AFL team versus a former AF2 team in the championship.
Right. I mean, we didn't even know what the championship game was going to be called heading into the season this year.
That's true.
We didn't know if they were going to, you know, call it Arena Bowl 23 or Arena Bowl 1.2.
Yeah. Or Arena Cup.
B.
Yeah, or Arena Cup 12. I don't know.
Arena Bowl 2010. I mean, they had a bunch of different things that they could have done, but I mean, when you drop that much money on naming rights, you would hope that they would continue on with the Arena Bowls, you know, being 23 this year.
Exactly. And you know what? Great segue with you that you bring up there, and we'll go right into it here with our Arena Bowl preview. Naming rights. We all saw the logo that the league came out with originally there, the fonts made up to look like an Arena Bowl logo was a complete and utter joke. But
oh, yeah.
With Napa Auto Parts signing on to be the main sponsor for the league, getting naming rights, sort of like what Virgin Mobile did for the Arena Bowl back in 2008. They've signed on, and I guess, I don't know, what do you think? Do you think, with it, we got a new logo? I think it's a little bit of a recycled logo. It really looks a lot like the last, it's funny, it looks like the logo looks a lot like Arena Bowl 18, which happened to be the last Arena Bowl not at a neutral site.
Yeah. Wow. I can't even get started on these because, I mean, it's bad. Being the graphic designer that I am, I'm just blown away by this because it looks horrible. I mean, it looks like they went to, I can't even say a local high school. I would have to say like a local middle school there in Oklahoma and said, hey, come up with a logo for us. And, you know, kid goes on a computer for like 20 seconds and comes up with that.
Well, you got to admit, though, the new Napa Arena Bowl 23 logo, even though it is, you know, strikingly similar, you know, it's probably the missing cousin to the Arena Bowl 18 logo. At least it's a hell of a lot better than what it was, because you can't have even the other alphabet leagues had at least something that was half decent. I'm just thinking maybe the league knew about this new logo and the sponsorship coming about, and was basically toying with us. You know, they put out the original promotional stuff. They couldn't release it until all the, obviously, as I'm sure, you know, Commissioner Kurz would say, all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. So they didn't want to jinx themselves by releasing something, you know, so.
Right. Yeah, but they did a much better job on the current Arena Bowl 23 logo. Whatever their reasons are for it, I'm glad they decided to go with the latter. But yes, it does look a lot like Arena Bowl 18 logo, without a doubt. Just a different kind of color, you know, and that's about it. There was an Apple logo on there, and they were ready to go.
The logo, you know, logos aside, you know, it'll make me wonder that if they end up having the logo on the game ball, now I'm sure Spalding could easily turn these things, turn these things around, but I would have a feeling that if they are on the game ball with Jerry's signature, this logo's been in, and this sponsorship has been in the works for quite a while. We'll find out though. We'll find out.
Definitely.
For those who don't know, it was something we weren't able to talk about last week. It seemed like Coach Markham got into a little bit of a dust-up with a fan during the conference championship.
Really? No.
No, Coach Markham never.
Not Coach Markham.
It's actually funny. We had two controversial things happening for both head coaches, and we'll talk about this real quickly. Supposedly Coach Markham was being vazoozed by somebody with a bullhorn or something like that, or a megaphone. And according to the stories that you hear, he either A, when he took it away, period, or B, when he took it away, he cut the guy's lip. And then proceeds to grab his friend's megaphone and continue to go at it. I think everybody was getting in an uproar about this. A lot of people on our message boards were saying, it was in the minority, that were saying that what Coach Markham did was along the same lines as Bobby Scipio and Wilson by going into the stands. And I'm thinking, are you guys, do you really believe the stuff that you're spouting? I couldn't believe that. You can't, Matt, put these two things together in any way.
Yeah. Well, Coach Markham, it's just, you know, Markham being Markham, really. What actually happened is probably between those two guys, and you're going to hear, you know, two different sides to the story, of course, and you're going to hear stories from the people around there and stuff like that. I don't blame them, to tell you the truth. Having been on the field for, you know, the seasons that I was with the teams that I was with, you know, I don't blame them at all. I mean, sometimes it does get annoying. I mean, you try to block it all out and whatnot, but, I mean, it does get annoying to a certain point. So I don't blame them at all, to tell you the truth. I don't blame them at all.
Now, it's funny is that you really don't hear any – you've heard very little about this. The Scipio – the meeting that was supposed to occur for the hearing that was supposed to occur, we've heard nothing since. We heard it supposedly, and Commissioner Kurzon made mention that in another arena football fan site, saying that he did go through three different forms of. Not protest, but protesting his suspension, and they each were all denied. And then, according to the player contract, they are able to go through the Arbitration Association of America. I just think it's a little fishy, and then they say it's out of their hands. I just think it's a little fishy. We're probably never going to hear the end of this. Look, Bobby Scipio is not playing game one. Then it will all come back, or we'll just hear. We'll never hear anything. Period. But
right.
That, I think, was the biggest joke. You know, there were rumors that there was Brett Bushey was going to sue the league if he wasn't going to play. I think it really wouldn't have mattered. Yeah, versus Jacksonville, it may have made a difference because he did catch 5 touchdowns. But then again, look what happened. Last, this past week, Scipio only caught 2, and the bulk of the stuff went to I want to say DeAndre Reuben, but I know it was 7 touchdowns that was caught, and I know I want to check this, but anyway, what done is done. Let's move on. Now the biggest thing now in the Milwaukee game for Coach Keith is there was an incident for replay where Damien Harrell was going for a two-point convert. I honestly thought that he had caught the ball, but as he was coming down, the ball came loose. And then all of a sudden you see this hand go swoosh. Looked like trying to knock the ball out. And everybody thought it was a fan. But then, and even the guys at NFL Network pointed out, it was Coach Keefe trying to swat the ball.
Yeah.
I don't.
That was one.
I don't know of any coach that has, I'm sure you've probably been near or on the field more than I have, but I don't remember a coach ever trying this type of crap.
No, well, I would say maybe, I don't even know if this is the right word, playfully, but jokingly.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen jokingly. But they're not really going to stick their arm out, risk injury, broken arm, and stuff like that to try to either stop a play or break up a pass or anything like that. I mean, most of the time, the officials are all over that.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, just to stop your second, just to correct myself, it was not D'Angelo Reuben. He plays for Tampa Bay. It was T.T. Tolliver for Orlando that scored the 7 touchdowns in the conference championship game. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. Gotta get it right. When I was with Columbus, we were always joking about how Spielman was going to go out on the field and sack one of the quarterbacks. He was going to kind of snap and have a relapse to his football days and just go out there and kill one of the quarterbacks when he takes a snap. But, I mean, in the years that I was with the different teams that I was with, I never saw anything like that. I mean, you throw your arm out, like, jokingly, like, I'm going to come and tackle you or I'm going to come clothesline you as you're running down the sideline. But for the most part, you're not going to put yourself in harm's way because you're probably going to lose that battle with a guy steaming down the field. But with poking a ball loose, I mean, I can see it happening. I can't say that it wouldn't happen. But kind of in poor taste, poor sportsmanship.
Especially if it had really been a two-point convert and pulled the game. I think it would have pulled the game within one, if I'm not mistaken. But, I'm sure, hopefully, the rules committee will be looking at something like this to discourage it.
I don't like when the fans do it, to tell you the truth.
And that happened in abundance also in that game. And I will admit, at one point, Damien Harrell was absolutely kicked off.
Oh, yeah. As it should be. I would be too. I mean, I'm all about the fans being a part of the game and you get your footballs and whatnot. But, I mean, you got to let the players play their game and whatnot. But I don't know. I don't see the league doing anything about it because there's really nothing you can do about it. I mean, we're not going to put up, you know, the hockey boards, you know, with the glass and stuff. That's just not going to happen. You can't put any netting up to keep the fans back. That's not going to happen. So, I mean, there's really nothing the league can do but basically hope that the fans are somewhat civil in watching the games and you know, almost a scare factor, keep them away because, I mean, that player is wearing a full set of padding, a helmet, and is probably a lot bigger than you. So, you know, hopefully the scare factor kicks in and they leave the ball alone and let the players play the game.
Well, you know what? If they want to go ahead and continue to do that, and it's been documented many a time on national television, if you want to go ahead and risk it and put your face out there, you want to be like the dude who got his face smashed in the Tampa Bay Iowa Arena Bowl, you go right ahead. You know what? You want to be an idiot? I understand you're trying to go for a ball. You need to pay attention. I myself almost got a helmet in the face when I attended the game back in Ottawa, Ontario, back in the late 90s. And I'm thinking, you know, I've been to many a game. You want to pull off stupidity like that, you deserve to get a helmet in the face and get a broken nose.
No, definitely. Most definitely.
So. Speaking of, I mentioned, I was just making a joke about it before, Coach Markham and the Horns. What is up? Suppose the spokesman review is reporting that the Shock are selling the Zuzas for the game.
Doesn't this go against, though?
I thought the league rule, there's a league rule when it comes to noisemakers, and this was particularly
San Jose with the cowbell?
Commissioner Kurz actually mentioned this also in a Q&A session recently, saying that there is a league rule against mechanical noisemakers. But that leaves the spectrum open to a hell of a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah. You've got the thunder sticks, cowbells, those little plastic hand clappers. There's a wide range of quote-unquote noisemakers that can be cheaply given out to every fan that attends.
It's just a matter of what are they marking as a mechanical noisemaker. I can understand with the air horns, that I can understand. I want this Arena Bowl to be watchable. We don't want to have what the Zuzas sound like the entire game.
In other words, you don't want the 2010 World Cup atmosphere brought to the 2010 Arena Bowl 23.
I don't want.
That's nice.
It's not. Yeah. But I want. I'd rather hear the soccer player, soccer fan sing Olé,
mm-hmm.
than hear the Vizzes. They're annoying.
Yeah, oh, they're annoying without a doubt. It's understandable when it's an item that's used in every game played at that venue, but to bring it in just for one game is definitely a no. Especially if it would be a no if you brought it into every game and the league stepped in and said no, we're not going to allow that. You're not going to get that home field advantage from annoying, everybody that's in the place.
And I suppose Spokane has this rule in place about noisemakers. So are they contradicting themselves? Are they doing this because of what happened with Coach Markham? Or are they encouraging it? You know what I mean? So
it's probably a lot of factors. I bet you the Coach Markham incident probably has a huge factor in it. Gave them the idea, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
The past World Cup probably didn't help with that as well. But it'll be interesting to see what the league does. I cannot remember what they did to San Jose for giving up the cowbells, if they did anything at all.
I think it'll be a contradiction to their rules. I think they said, this is what our rules are. What a team does or what an arena allows is, they're becoming Switzerland. They are becoming neutral. So
right.
Nothing will occur. Would Coach Markham dare go off again? I don't know. I don't know.
He might. Depends on how the game's going.
That's true too.
Yep.
Speaking of, last game of the 2010 season, we know there are a lot of positives coming up and that we're probably going to be hearing over the next couple of days when it comes to what we're going to be seeing in 2011. But we have a game and two opponents are in a situation that we have never seen before. More particularly, two, we have a old school, old guard, AFL, former AFL team versus the new kid on the block who in AF2, as I mentioned a couple weeks prior, had the best overall record. They tied the Quad City Steamrollers for the best start in team history to play in arena football when they were back in AF2. And they have continued to bring this over into the new rebooted AFL. I look at it as being an former AF2 team versus this. I was a fan. I loved how they're a model franchise and being able to see what they're doing and how they've done it. Brought players in, being able to keep players, etc. No matter if there are rumors of paying them under the table or whatnot, whatever it may be. We've heard that before in the past. But this is also two teams that have never played each other, not in the regular season, and not in their histories, obviously. So it can be. Adam Markowitz actually said it well in his article that's on the Arena Fan front page. It's like the old AFL going up against the NFL. The Baltimore Colts versus the New York Jets.
Yeah, that's a perfect assessment, I think. I mean, these are two superpowers coming from two, and in essence, different leagues playing the same game. But yeah, that's dead on. I mean, Tampa, 5 championships, the Shock. I really don't follow the AF2 very closely, but I know they've won it at least twice.
Yep, yep.
Over in the AF2. So, I mean, having these two teams in the Arena Bowl for the first year of the league being back, I think, is great. I mean, I can see the diehard fans appreciating this matchup more than it being a matchup of two good teams. It's a matchup of two storied franchises.
And this is a Spokane team, by the way. Yes, they've won 2 titles. 2 of them were at their 2 wins, by the way, were at neutral sites. One was when they played, for some reason, they played the Arena Cup over in San Juan, Puerto Rico back in 06. Last year when they won the title and totally shellacking Wilkes-Barre Scranton when they played in Vegas. But their only loss, JP, in the championship game since in their history was at home back in 2008 in an overtime loss to the then Tennessee Valley Vipers.
Right.
So as great fans they are, they were beat at home. Now, is that going to play into much? I don't know. Will it be a factor? Probably not. Just one game?
I would say it would not be a factor. But, I mean, home field advantage plays more of a factor than you would think. But, I mean, when it comes down to the calibers of these two teams, I don't think it's going to have much of a factor. It may have a factor in a super close game, possibly, but I don't think it's going to completely sway the game to one team or another.
No, no. And the only thing that I do see possibly being a huge factor. Now, we saw, it's funny, turnover differential on the year, the Shock was tied for first at plus 16. Okay? Tampa Bay was ninth with a plus minus of 0. What started Milwaukee's rally last week was a turnover, which turned into a touchdown for the Iron. That will probably be the one thing that will sway this game. You know, and I don't think it's going to be the stops. I think it will be a turnover specifically.
It's always turnovers that sway games. So I'm behind you 100% on that, most definitely. Because, I mean, you live and die by the turnover in any game, whether it be regular season, playoffs, Arena Bowl. You know, you got to keep those to a minimum. And if you get them, even if you don't convert on them, you get the momentum.
Exactly.
And that momentum transfers into points eventually.
I'm also curious to know, with the game starting at 5 o'clock Pacific, when we saw the crowd the last 2 games that they had been on the NFL Network, last week, they drew only 8,100. Okay, I can understand. It's a short game, a short week, no prior advertising to that because they didn't know if they were going to play that game. the week prior to that, when they were on TV, everybody ended up showing up, and they had the full crowd. Full crowd didn't show up this time. So, you're talking about crowd, could the shock not having a full capacity to begin with be a factor in any way?
I don't think it'll have a factor. It'll be sad to see that they don't pack that place. Like I said, I mean, the diehard arena fans have to know how big of a game this is.
It's the championship.
Said,
it's where they want it to be. They're in the championship game for the AFL.
Yeah, the legacies of these two franchises are quite storied. So the diehard fan can appreciate what a big game this is. I know that the Shock fans are some of the best in the league, and definitely the best that came from the AF too. So the 5 o'clock start on a Friday afternoon. Hopefully these people are going to take off early on work or not even show up to work on Friday and come out and support their team, because I definitely want to see close to 11,000 there. Because, I mean, this is a big game, huge game.
Now,
for them, but for the league itself.
I don't mind it being, as long as it's a sellout. Yes, if it is a sellout, it will be the smallest crowd ever for an Arena Bowl, and I think that's 2,000 less than what the previous record was, if I remember correctly. But yeah, you know, all I want to hear is a sellout. I love hearing that there was a sellout in New Orleans, whether it was a true sellout or not. Just hearing the word sellout, I like to hear that for an Arena Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So, game time. It's interesting. You look at all the, you know, we could go with stats on infinitum, and I don't want everybody to think that, you know, you and I, we try to throw in some stats here from time to time. We don't try to stay all stats all the time, because you can talk stats until you're blue in the face.
And that's boring.
It can be. But I love stats. I mean, I love stats just as much as
I love stats.
Yeah, as yourself, and same thing with Andy Lipsnack. With the columns that he writes this week, every week, we know he likes them too, and I bet you just mispronounced his name again, but sorry, Andy. But I think if we were to look at three specific variables, actually we're going to go with four, now that I think of it, I know this is off the cuff here, but I know with you being where you currently are, I know we want to go ahead and it will be one of our shorter shows of the year, but let everybody know how we feel, and then we can let you go, and then you can be ready for our year-end review show. Quarterback, in your opinion, who has the edge?
Ooh. Wow. You're not going to lob it over the plate on that one, are you?
No, not really. I mean...
Thought you were going to give him an easy one for point number one or
okay,
four
well, here.
Here.
Yeah, okay, I'll do that then. Head coach?
Well, yeah, that's definitely a lob. I'm going to have to go with Markham on that one. I mean, he is the coach, really, when it comes to the Arena Bowls and to arena football itself.
He is. He is arena. If we were to say if there was a Mr. Arena Bowl, Arena Football, that'd be Coach Markham.
Arena Football. Definitely. Way of doing it, but he gets it done, plain and simple. And I think as an owner, that's all that matters, really. If you're bringing home that trophy and you're giving out those rings, you know, he's doing something right.
Coach Markham is shooting for championship number 8.
Yes. He's running out of fingers.
Now, I will make Coach Keith, he is on the verge of doing something that nobody has done. He will win one as a player, as an assistant coach, and a coach. Now he won the Arena Bowl, I think when he was in the AFL.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, no disrespect to Coach Keefe at all. I mean, he's a great coach too.
Great motivator too. Great motivator.
Yeah, super. But if you have to give one the edge, it's definitely Coach Markham.
Agreed. I will go with you on that one. I'll try to lob up another one here because it's not really something that we usually talk about all that much when it comes to arena football. Which defense has the edge?
Ooh, defense.
Now, Tampa Bay was second on the year in points per game given up. Spokane was fourth, and it's only a difference. It's a difference of less than 2 points per game. Passing yards is almost passing yards given up is almost identical. Rushing, well, rushing's rushing.
Yeah, I was going to say, rushing shouldn't even be a part of this game, but that's another show in itself.
Tampa Bay has more sacks.
Well, let me see here. Let me crunch some numbers.
It's tough. Defensive interceptions, by the way, one difference. One interception difference between the two. The shock is the head 17-16. And as I said, the big thing is the turnover differential. It's a difference of plus 16.
Right. Well, a nice factor to factor in is points against. And a quick look at that gives you Tampa Bay at number two. They only gave up 812 points. Second only to Jacksonville with 806.
Mm-hmm.
Spokane gave up 843. I mean, again, they're just numbers. They're just stats. But sometimes, you know, the numbers don't lie.
You can also look to it at who was in their division. And nothing against Arizona, but Utah.
Yeah. And they still gave up 843 points this season. So I'm going to give the edge to Tampa in this one.
I think alone slightly for me, if anything, just because of the turnover differential and seeing how well that they've been able to cause in a turnover of some sort, I'm going to give just a slight, it's almost a tie with all honesty when I look at this, but I'm going to give the slight edge to the shock on this one. Wide receiver core.
Wide receivers. Each team has a great set of receivers, too.
Agreed. You also have one of the wide receivers, Raul Veo, for the Shock, who is on the mend and will not be playing. But Huey Whittaker has stepped up big time.
Big time. Yes, he has. I would give the edge to... I'd give the edge to Tampa. Even though Whittaker has stepped up, they just don't have that number two receiver that Tampa's got. Tampa even goes as deep as having a third receiver. I mean, again, I'm crunching numbers and stuff, but like I said, most of the time the numbers don't lie.
Don't forget about in the past couple of games for Spokane, Marquise White has stepped up slightly.
Yes, he has.
But from there, you have nobody. Everybody.
Yeah, it's kind of a battering of plays. Mm. Yeah.
I'm
going to give the edge to Tampa on this one.
Looking at it, Huey Whittaker is the go-to guy. You've had Hank Edwards, who has been—he's been very consistent. He's tailed off. I mean, we saw. Remember, he was having games where it was 4, 5, 6 touchdowns a game during the year. You also have, Tyrone Tibbins, DeAndre Reuben. those three receivers made up, and they all three of those receivers had over 1,000 yards. You know what's killer about this, too, is DeAndre Reuben had 1,100 yards, JP, on only 70 receptions.
Yep.
But you do have...
A lot of yak.
Yeah. So, but you... It's... I think I, too, would give a slight edge to Tampa Bay on this one, having that third wide receiver that we know is going to be available. I think if Veal had been available to play, might have been it would have been almost a tie, considering how well Veal's been on the shelf, I think, for 2 weeks, being on the IR, if I'm not mistaken, or 4 weeks, actually, I think it's four. Last but not least, before we get to the pick, quarterbacks. First time in league history, if I'm not mistaken, that we have two quarterbacks coming into the championship game that have over 100 touchdowns passing.
And they both have a quarterback rating of over 120.
Yes, they do.
I mean, that's some sparkling stats right there. Sparkling stats. Neither of them have over 20 interceptions. Taking a quick look here.
You've also had each of these quarterbacks who have come off sluggish certain games, so it shows that they are actually human.
Right. Without a doubt, these guys are human, but they both have a completion percentage of over 65% for both of them. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better quarterback matchup, hence why when you threw that fastball down the plate,
I
kind of looked at it and took the strike, because it's a tough one. I would probably have to go with Kyle in the shot at a slight edge, maybe giving him the home field advantage edge.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, basically, either of these guys under center, they're getting the job done, without a doubt.
And Kyle coming in as a first year starter. Remember,
yep.
he wasn't the starter last year in Spokane. I'm looking at both these quarterbacks, and with all honesty, it's a dead heat. It really is a dead heat between these two. I can't really choose one. I think, as I said, if you were to give a little bit of an edge, it would be because of the home field advantage. But it sort of equals itself out when you come to the coaching. But for me, it's going to be, I think, straight down the line. I think it's a push when it comes to the quarterbacks. And for the last time this year, I know we haven't talked about it for a couple of weeks, and we've been doing the eight ball for most of the year. The game, Arena Bowl 23. Back for the first time since 2008, we have a championship game in the Arena Football League. Very interesting matchup. Back to a neutral site, at least for this year. Tampa traveling from the East Coast all the way to the West Coast, which could be a huge factor. Spokane, the upstart, former AF2 team in their first AFL championship. Who wins the title?
I'm going to pick Tampa. I mean, they're just an amazing team. I mean, they didn't have the greatest of starts. They may have stumbled a little bit heading into the playoffs. But when playoff time came, they stepped up. And they won when they definitely needed to win, obviously, or they wouldn't be here. But, I mean, they definitely stepped up. The games that they did win this season, they won with most of them rather convincingly. They'll knock the Shock at all. The Shock are still a great team. But I think the slight edges that, in my opinion, go to Tampa, and the edge at coaching. you know, I think Tampa comes home with title number 6.
I think that, I know one thing, Tampa Bay cannot have a collapse like they did last week. You cannot blow 2 21-point leads. And this is to the
right.
worst seed. This is to a 500, you know, a 500 team in the Atlanta Predators in the regular season. Tampa Bay comes off, blows a 21-point lead, or plays like they did, as horrible as they did in the season regular season finale versus also the Atlanta Predators, they're going to lose. This is not going to be a game like it was last year for Spokane. This is not going to be a pushover at all.
No.
I would not be surprised to see a scoring record set for Arena Bowls in this game. That would be tough. I mean, that would be really tough, but I would not be surprised. Overtime? No. Don't think so. I don't think either of these coaches are going to want to go into overtime, especially with having, you know, basically if you, you know, go to end up going to sudden death.
Right.
As much as I want Tampa Bay to win this, and maybe just the old school in me, the old school arena baller in me, I really think that Spokane, right now, with where they are, has the best chance at winning this game. And I think it's probably going to come down, and most arena football games do, will come down to the last possession, and I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised if this is one on a last second touchdown. Wouldn't it be surprised?
I mean, this one might come down to who goes for 2 points. You know, it may come down to a 2-point conversion either made or missed. This is definitely going to be one of your dead heats. That you're going to see 60-plus points from each team.
Mm-hmm.
Without a doubt. I mean, this is going to be a barn burner. Who's going to score last? Who's going to pull off that, you know, who's got the guts to go for that 2-point conversion at the end so that they don't have to go into overtime? That's what it's going to come down to. I mean, this is going to be one hell of a game. Like I said, 60-plus on each side. It should be a fun one.
And the line, too, the early lines have come out. I think it's no more than 5 points in favor of Spokane. And I think that's just because of the home field advantage. So there you have it, folks. Usually JP and I are on the line when it comes to these type of things. So with JP picking Tampa Bay, myself picking Spokane in the Arena Bowl Championship this Friday on the NFL Network. How do you feel about what we've said? Many ways of contacting us. You know exactly what to do. Facebook.com/ArenaFan. Twitter.com/ArenaFan. There is also the message boards. My email at tim.capper@arenafan.com. And by the way, I have received some emails over the past couple of weeks. I want to thank all you fans for chiming in. I haven't been able to mention you any in particular, but I will try to answer them as you send them to me. JP also has his Twitter account at twitter.com/sidelines14. Well, JP, an interesting year to say the least. I know we're not going to say our goodbyes now, but I want to tell you that enjoy the game. I know it's going to be one of those very, very interesting championships, and I just hope we're not wrong. I do not want to see a blowout in any way, shape, or form.
I hope not too. For the sake of the game, for what everything's been set up, the two teams that are there, the two coaches, your basic, you know, AFL versus NFL classic matchup here. Yeah, a blowout would just kind of, people would just sit there and be like, okay. Well,
yeah, we do not.
And if the blowout in the Tampa's favor, then you give fuel to the fire of the AFL guys saying, oh, see, the AF2 couldn't hack it. But then when you got, you know, if you have a blowout on the shock side, then you add fuel to the fire of the AF2 guys saying, see, you know, we're just as good as you. There's, you know, nothing, you know, different about the AF2 to the AFL. But if you have that straight down the middle, barn burner, last second, who goes for two type of game, then you really can't say anything. You say you go if you lose and you say, wow, we gave it all, but we just didn't have that extra push at the end. And if you win it, you go, wow, that team really stepped up and gave us a good one. So, I mean, it's going to be a great game. And basically my last thought is get out to that game. If you're up there in Washington, guys, you know, you need to call off of work. You need to leave work early. You know, take the rest of the week off, you know, starting once you hear this. You need to get out to that game. You need to pack 11,000 people in there and go crazy, because this is going to be probably an Arena Bowl for the decade.
If it's anything like the conference championship between Orlando and Tampa, you know, one of the best conference championships in league history as far as excitement. I totally agree with you. Great last words, JP. Perfect for what's coming up on Friday. So I want to thank everybody who's joined us during the regular season. We are going to have our year-end review and talk about the Arena Bowl and what has happened over the past 21 weeks. Who would have thought? 21 weeks in an upcoming show. So for everybody here at the AFL Tonight crew, I want to thank JP Worley, who has literally is on assignment this week. Thanks for joining us. And I'm Tim Capper. Watch the rebound off the net.